Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. The government of Israel today is pressing ahead with its plan for new Jewish settlements in the occupied West Bank region in the face of open official criticism in Washington. Bruno Wassertile reports from Tel Aviv.
Jewish settlers are digging in at Shiloh, one of three new settlements Israel is putting up in the West Bank this month. At the two other sites, also located in the heart of the Arab-populated West Bank, workers are still putting down the infrastructure for the new towns and are bringing in truckloads of prefabricated housing. They'll still be building when the Egyptian-Israeli Political Committee convenes in Jerusalem a week from today. Although the Israeli government yesterday announced that it would not put up any new settlements in the Sinai, but rather expand existing communities there, no such commitment has been given for the West Bank region. The settlers at Shiloh plan to make their main occupation archaeology. Their village lies over the site of biblical Shiloh, which served as the capital city for the 12 tribes of Israel some 3,000 years ago. Bruno Wassertile for CBS News in Tel Aviv.
The Carter administration is making its negative attitude on the settlements abundantly clear, and we'll hear about that from CBS News diplomatic correspondent Marvin Cal.
The Carter administration opposes not only the building of new settlements, it even opposes the existing ones. It considers them illegal and obstacles to peace. Even before the announcement of the Israeli cabinet decision not to build new settlements in the Sinai, the president's national security advisor, Zbigniew Brzezinski, said on CBS's Face the Nation that a contrary decision would have shown poor judgment and complicated the negotiating process. The U.S. used its influence to persuade Prime Minister Begin to do nothing that could disturb the pace and rhythm of the negotiation. However, top officials would be happier if both Sadat and Begin cut back on their public comments about the settlement controversy, because there is already a risk that the negotiation is being jeopardized by hardening rhetoric designed more for domestic audiences than for diplomatic concessions. The U.S. feels that if both sides keep quiet for a while, the settlement issue can be solved. Marvin Kalb, CBS News, Washington.
Egypt's new foreign minister, Mohamed Ibrahim Kamel, says his country will keep insisting on total Israeli troop withdrawal from occupied Arab lands and the dismantling of Jewish settlements. The Shah of Iran is in Aswan today, talking with President Sadat about Sadat's peace moves, which the Shah supports. Tomorrow, he'll visit Saudi Arabia.
Nobody demands more from a Dachshund than Dachshund.
Datsun, we are famous for economy. Our mileage leader, the B210GX hatchback, is rated 42 highway, 30 city, with optional 5-speed stick. These are EPA estimates. Your mileage may differ. For the Datsun, economy is not our only mission. We demand more. We equip every B210GX with standards like reclining bucket seats, power front disc brakes, radials at every corner, full wheel covers. The B210GX, from its all-steel, all-welded unibody up, it's Datsun, dedicated, driven to deliver the greatest economy of all, quality.
Nobody demands more from a Datsun.
Tough, Datsun.
A stubborn Idaho businessman today takes his battle against the government agency to the United States Supreme Court. The story from CBS News law correspondent Fred Graham.
One day, a couple of years ago, an inspector for the U.S. Labor Department's Occupational Safety and Health Administration, known as OSHA, dropped in to inspect a plumbing and heating business in Pocatello, Idaho, run by a man named Bill Barlow. OSHA is a new and controversial agency, the only one given the power by Congress to drop by unannounced and at random at virtually any business in the country to inspect the premises and to fine the owner for any safety or health violations. But that day in Pocatello, Bill Barlow said no. The Constitution forbids officials to enter private premises without search warrants. OSHA went to court, and a three-judge panel declared the OSHA law unconstitutional, because it seeks to permit OSHA inspections without search warrants. OSHA appealed, warning that if the decision is upheld, its operations will be crippled and many workers could be hurt through unsafe conditions. Today, lawyers for the government and Pocatello's stubborn businessman, Bill Barlow, will argue that point before the U.S. Supreme Court. Fred Graham, CBS News, Washington.
The court also hears arguments today on the question of whether Indians have the legal right to prosecute non-Indians for crimes committed on tribal lands. The Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals has ruled that a tribe living on a reservation near Seattle does have that right. Violence that may or may not have been connected with a five-week-old coal mine strike is causing concern today in Floyd County, Kentucky. And Bob Faugh has details.
Later today, a small Kentucky town will bury a retired miner who was shot and killed Friday by an off-duty coal company guard. The two men had been longtime enemies, but according to local mine workers president Robert Carter, the apparently unprovoked shooting has enraged the community.
I think that it's made tensions a lot higher than what they were. I don't think it is going to help the issue one bit whatsoever. Since one of our men did get killed by a company guard, I think it'll make tensions run a lot higher than what they have been in the past.
With negotiations suspended, tension and hostility are building in the coal fields. Yesterday in Phelps, Kentucky, a CBS News cameraman and technician were roughed up by miners who fired shots and smashed the crew's equipment. And Saturday in Indiana, striking miners stormed two non-union facilities, causing over $1 million in damage. There have been other incidents as well, and many miners are now hoping that the violence will prompt both sides to start talking again. Fearful that if that doesn't happen soon, frustration will build, and with it, the likelihood of even more trouble. Bob Faugh, CBS News, Floyd County, Kentucky.
Energy Secretary James Schlesinger today is flying to Morocco and Saudi Arabia for talks on energy and related developments. Oil prices may figure in the discussions. Schlesinger told reporters yesterday that Chairman Henry Jackson of the Senate Energy Committee says he and his colleagues will make a new effort to end the deadlock over energy legislation. President Carter told Schlesinger at a White House conference that Saudi Arabia, France, and Iran are especially concerned that excessive energy imports are damaging the value of the dollar. The dollar opened a bit stronger this morning on most of the European foreign exchange markets, but it declined a trifle in London and Paris.
When it comes to buying a new truck, you consider yourself a tough customer. But there is somebody even tougher.
Nobody demands more from a Datsun than Datsun. We are drilling.
The Datsun King Cab. First small pickup that doubles as a car. Carpeting, console, reclining buckets. More legroom than any other small pickup. But Datsun doesn't stop there. The King Cab has up to 11 cubic feet of storage behind the seats. Try finding that in any other small pickup. It's Datsun, driven to the exclusive.
Nobody demands more from a Datsun than Datsun. We are driven.
Keep thinking big, Datsun.
Political disorders are causing mounting anxiety today in Rome, although Jerry Bowen reports that authorities are taking no unusual measures.
Despite a weekend of sporadic and sometimes deadly political violence, Rome police say they are doing nothing beyond the norm to preserve the peace here. And the norm here means police armed with submachine guns standing guard outside the major offices of the right and left-wing political parties. In addition, more police are visible on Rome's streets today. This following the second night of violence in which firebombs were thrown at a Communist Party office and at the home of the assistant editor of Rome's leftist newspaper, Il Messaggero. In both cases, the fires were quickly extinguished and there were no injuries. But these incidents, numerous assaults of pedestrians and smaller firebombings of vehicles in Rome, are seen as the response of right-wing groups to the killings of two teenagers Saturday night. Both young men were shot as they left the offices of the neo-fascist party, the Italian Social Movement. A third youth, shot by police at a later demonstration, has been pronounced clinically dead, but continues breathing on an artificial respirator. The violence comes at a time when the Christian Democratic government is considering demands for the formation of a new cabinet that would include communists. Jerry Bowen, CBS News, Rome.
A white university lecturer who opposed South Africa's racial segregation policies was shot and killed last night by a gunman who fired through the window of his home near Johannesburg. And a former black nationalist guerrilla who also opposed those policies was shot and wounded in a nearby township. Detectives say that at this stage, they see no connection between the two incidents.
Larry Burrell, and Tom Kelly for Mark C. Bloom.
Tom, when buying tires, brakes, or tune-ups, it's important to do business with a reputable outfit.
And Larry, Mark C. Bloom has been serving Southern Californians for over 53 years.
The Mark C. Bloom tire, brake, and tune-up centers are big, modern, and clean.
And their tremendous tire selection at low prices is what sets them apart from the one brand and the off-brand tire store.
Mark C. Bloom carries the famous Michelin tires and Uniroyal, Bridgestone, Goodrich, Firestone, Goodyear, and others.
And don't forget those sporty Pirelli radials for only $19.88 plus $1.34 federal tax, size 145-12 tube type.
And Mark C. Bloom's Michelin X radials are only $24.88 plus $1.18 federal tax, size 520-12 tube type.
Uniroyal Tiger Paws, size 645-14, tubeless black, only $17.88 plus $1.73 federal tax.
And remember Mark C. Bloom's sensational low prices on wheels, brakes, tune-ups, and wheel alignments.
Mark C. Bloom, your name brand tire store and service center.
Cambodia today is taking a boastful line on its war with Vietnam, but Peter Collins reports from Bangkok that the line may not be justified.
Phnom Penh Radio, heard here in Bangkok, is today claiming what it calls an historic great victory over Vietnam, inscribed in flesh, blood, and bone. The radio claims that Vietnamese forces in eastern Cambodia have been completely routed. But later in the same broadcast, Phnom Penh Radio speaks of the Cambodians relying mainly on guerrilla attacks against Vietnamese forces armed with tanks and artillery. This contradiction and other information reaching intelligence sources in Bangkok indicates that Phnom Penh Radio is trying to bolster Cambodian morale in the face of an increasingly desperate situation. The sources say that instead of winning, Cambodians are surrendering in such large numbers the Vietnamese are having trouble finding enough prison camps for them. But fighting has been limited in the past few days, and Vietnamese forces are said to be consolidating and not moving forward toward Phnom Penh. As one source put it, the Cambodians seem to be doing exactly what the Vietnamese want them to do, that is, committing their forces piecemeal into a meat grinder. The Vietnamese apparently are hoping the destruction of the Cambodian army will topple the regime in Phnom Penh. Peter Collins, CBS News, Bangkok.
President Carter's National Security Advisor, Zbigniew Brzezinski, said yesterday on Face the Nation that the conflict between Cambodia and Vietnam is the first case of a proxy war between China and the Soviet Union. China supporting the Cambodians, Soviet Russia backing the Vietnamese. Brzezinski said the U.S. has no intelligence reports to suggest that either Chinese or Soviet advisors are in the field.